This is Global Air Force with your host, Dr. Jim Rohn.
And all of a sudden, she asked the elderly lady, you know, was there anything happening? And the elderly lady said her ear popped open. She could hear instantly.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Oh, my.
And so we were really excited, but I said, well, ask her again. I don't think she understands. I mean, did she say her ear, she can hear? So she asked her again, and then again a third time, because I wanted to be sure. The lady just, the elderly lady was standing there, so matter of fact. And I was blown away, because that was my first experience like that. And so the interpreter went to go pray for the other ear. And within minutes, the elderly lady said that the ringing had completely stopped.
And here's your host, Dr. Jim Rohn.
Today I have a guest with me that has had some experiences that you need to hear about. We have been talking about miracles and healing that is happening in other countries of the world. In the book of Acts, we can read miracles, healings that were carried out through the believers, the disciples. And today we're really encouraged when we hear these things. It causes us to believe and trust in God. My friend, these things have not passed away. They're still every bit alive, particularly in other countries such as South America, Africa, India. And today you are going to hear about these miracles from our very precious friend and a wonderful believer. There'll be Sherry Scott, Executive Director of Sunrise Global Ministries. Let's just find out where Sherry's at. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, it's good to have you here today.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
And how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Where do you live?
I am in Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage, Alaska. Wow.
It's a beautiful day here, too.
Oh, wonderful. I introduced you as Executive Director of Sunrise Global Ministries. What is Sunrise Global Ministries?
Jim, Sunrise Global Ministries is a nonprofit organization. We're committed to expanding faith-based therapeutic and ministry services, both locally and internationally. Mm-hmm. What we do is this is accomplished primarily through individual and corporate ministry renewal, such as healing, reconciliation, and revival. We also provide leadership training, program consultation, and participate in community development projects such as short-term missions, humanitarian aid endeavors in Africa, South America, and Mexico.
And, of course, you're in Alaska also.
Yes.
That's interesting. What do you do?
I serve as the executive director, and I also go abroad on the mission trips that we do, working with non-governmental organizations primarily and raising support for orphanages, transporting medical supplies, and sharing the gospel.
Mm. I met you on a tour with Global Awakening. And
yep.
That seems to be a similar ministry too, though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come to be on the ministering team of this particular Brazil tour?
Well, on this particular trip, I had not intended to go. I had just returned from a Voice of the Apostles conference in the fall and had heard about all of the short-term mission trips that they go on, and I really had a desire to go. Yet when I came back in September, God just really put a burden on my heart to go on the December trip, and so I started pulling things together about 3 weeks right before the deadline.
Oh, my. I wasn't planning on going either, but I was at the Voice of the Apostles, and I just was passing Randy Clark. As I was passing him, the Spirit of God jumped from him to me, right into my heart,
wow,
and said, "You're going to South America."
Wow.
Now, I wish that God would have knocked me down and, you know, gave me details and, you know, talked to me for a half hour, but that was it. I had to go on that. I had to say, well, I recognize the Spirit of God, and I'll have to go with that, and that's how we met.
Yeah.
That's how I met you.
And actually, when the Lord put that burden on my heart, I thought, well, Lord, is this really you? Because it really was a miracle, the way things came together.
3 weeks. You must have just barely got your visa.
True.
Was this your first trip with Global?
This was my first trip with Global Awakening abroad. I'm involved with the ministry, and I'm a part of the apostolic network of Global Awakening, but I had not gone on a ministry trip with them.
I'd like you to tell us some of your experiences.
Well, when I flew into Brazil, I could feel the presence of God in the nation. It was amazing when we started going into the churches because the atmosphere was just charged with power, the tangible presence of God. It was amazing.
Right, it was.
It was. And my personal experience, having been coached by the leadership teams, even though I'm involved in healing here locally and the healing rooms and praying for people, I've seen God work. I had never stood in front of, you know, very large groups of people and given words of knowledge. So we were coached to give words of knowledge. And so that was something that was new for me. Honestly, pretty terrifying also, because I was thinking, well, what if I don't get a word of knowledge? What if it's just my imagination? And so as I was thinking about that, I remember just really pressing into God and believing that, you know what, if he was going to give somebody else a word of knowledge, surely he would give me a word. So I was praying and praying, and sure enough, I received a word. And I remember the first one, and I think it's just, you know, I want to share this because it wasn't like, you know, it's full of confidence and faith, but it was just childlike faith. So when I received my first word, I remember asking God, you know, is this really you? And if it is really you, because I don't want to get up there and have something be just coming from me, and Lord, just confirm it. So he did, and I sat there, and I still was unsure. So I asked God a third time. I was like, Lord, if this is really, really you, just be patient with me and know that I'm weak, but confirm it again. And sure enough, God, in his grace, just a third time, he had confirmed it. So that was the first night of giving the words of knowledge, and that really built faith to see that word given out, a woman stand up in tears, claiming that word, and also claiming the healing that God was going to do in her life. So that was the beginning. I remember one elderly woman who stands out in particular. As the ministry team, we had lines of people, and we were also using interpreters.
How many would you say were there?
Oh, gosh, I know there was over 14,000 people in all.
Okay, then the team had to stand in front of these people. Okay.
And sometimes there would be 25, 50, maybe even 75 people. That might be a bit much, but each of us had lines of people.
Oh, there were so many. It just got to be a blur, a wonderful blur. I could not remember how many people I prayed for. There were just so many things. Some stood out.
Yeah, no, I remember this one lady in particular. She had come up, and she couldn't hear out of her right ear. And in her left ear, there was a loud, constant ringing.
Deaf in one ear and a ringing in the other ear. Oh, my.
Yes, constant.
Oh, my.
Without let-up. And so the interpreter was there, and we were also encouraged by the leadership to mentor the interpreters in how to pray for the sick. And I was strongly led for this particular case to coach the interpreter and work with her. And so she tentatively had placed her hands on the elderly lady's right ear and was praying in the name of Jesus, and her prayer of faith was so passionate and fervent, and I was just backing her up. And all of a sudden, she asked the elderly lady, you know, was there anything happening? And the elderly lady said her ear popped open. She could hear instantly.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Oh, my.
And so we were really excited, but I said, well, ask her again. I don't think she understands. I mean, did she say her ear, she can hear? So she asked her again, and then again a third time, because I wanted to be sure. The lady just, the elderly lady was standing there, so matter of fact. And I was blown away, because that was my first experience like that. And so the interpreter went to go pray for the other ear. And within minutes, the elderly lady said that the ringing had completely stopped.
Oh, praise God. So here we were, learning ourselves, practicing what we were told to do, booted right out into the service, right up front. And now these other people were supposed to be training them. And they jumped right in.
Yeah, it was amazing.
As you said, God's presence and power was so strong there, we could feel it. That's such a part of it.
Yeah, and it was all about Him. All about Him.
Amen. So you had, I think other people have expressed fears, worries, begin to wonder if they could do anything. And, of course, that's not what we always hear in faith teaching. You know, we're taught you got to have faith. And, you know, I was taught you pray once, lay hands on them, and they're healed. But this was a new experience. This was an experience that actually allowed us to learn. It allowed us to express what was going on inside of us. We didn't have to make up any story or stand tall. I'm amazed at how many people said they didn't know whether they were going to get a word of knowledge, or was it really a word of knowledge, or would the first person really get healed? And amidst the excitement, there was also some terror. Amen?
Amen. And I think it's just a testimony that, again, it's all about what God can do. It's like He just says, stand back and watch Me work. And blind eyes were opening and could see, and deaf ears could hear for the first time. Lame children who had never walked. I remember one in particular was running by the end of the service.
Oh, my. Was this one, a little one you prayed for?
Now, I witnessed that one, but I did pray for actually a middle-aged woman.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular night, we were headed over to the service early to pray for those who were terminally ill. It was so powerful.
Oh, it was. I just can't wait to go back and do more. As we learned in Portuguese, my Senhor, more Lord.
Yes.
I was afraid to say that because the way I was trained in church, you know, you just pray and keep your head bowed. Here we're yelling more, and, you know, when I would say more, it really worked. It worked amazing. Okay, so back into the incurable room. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this group, the terminally ill, they were defined as those having weeks to live or those in wheelchairs who could not walk.
Mm.
So as a ministry team, we left early to go over and just begin praying for them before the service began. As I walked into the building and I was making my way to this small group, I saw a middle-aged woman walking with a person on each side of her, very slowly making her way to this group. She couldn't walk unassisted.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jim, there was something just very supernatural. It was like the Spirit of God just drew me to her, and we locked eyes, and there was a very powerful exchange. So I went over to her, difficult to even describe or put into words, but I knew that that was the one that the Lord had wanted me to pray for. So I helped her over to the chair, and one other thing, as on the bus, I was praying with a friend, and as we held hands to pray, my right hand started getting really hot. And I had never experienced that before, and I wasn't sure what was happening. But I felt heat on my hand. And I remember some of the ministry leaders, Randy Clark, saying that sometimes when God heals, you can feel heat or you can feel cold. It's just a way that the Spirit of God moves sometimes, not always, just sometimes.
Yes, and I found that to be true myself. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I had never experienced that on my hand like that when we were praying specifically for this group of people, and it was getting hotter and hotter. So my faith thermometer just rose, and I thought, God's going to do a miracle tonight, and I get to be a part of it. So as I was praying for this woman as she sat down, I got a sense that there was some occult involvement, and when I had asked her, she confirmed that 3 years ago she was saved, but before that she was a practicing witch. Witchcraft is not uncommon in Brazil.
No, it isn't.
And so we had walked through some prayers of repentance, healing. One other thing is she had shared that she had multiple surgeries upon her back that went really wrong, and her back was very deformed. They had actually taken out vertebrae in her neck, so she had a neck brace that literally held her head up. And as we prayed, my right hand, started getting hotter and hotter and hotter to the point where I couldn't even keep it on her back. And so without saying anything, I asked the interpreter to ask her if she was experiencing anything. And the lady had confirmed that, yes, she was feeling heat all over her back. So God was really touching her in a very tangible way. She could actually feel the healing taking place.
Mm. That kindled our faith.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we were both really excited then.
Mm-hmm.
And so after about 20 minutes, she said she wanted to get up, and I had helped her up. She motioned that she wanted to walk on her own. And, Jim, she walked about 12 feet out, unassisted, 12 feet back, and then she went again. And because she was not used to walking on her own, she was pretty tired by the time she had come mm-hmm. back, so she sat down. And then she took her neck brace off.
Oh, praise God.
And she held up her head. She started moving her head forward, back, side to side. And then lastly, as she was sitting there, previously she could not lift either hand or arm up more than 6 inches off of her lap.
Oh, my.
She started lifting her hands up, and they just kept going up and up and up, all the way extended over her head.
And you said that she had vertebrae removed from her neck, and the brace was, it was necessary. It was necessary to hold her head and neck in place.
Yeah, she could not hold her head up without the neck brace prior to God's healing touch.
What happened to that neck brace after all this?
She took it off, and there's just another little piece to this story is I went to Brazil with a prayer scarf that I had purchased from Israel. I didn't go to Israel, but I purchased it from the Healing Rooms, mm-hmm. who brought them from Israel. And I had taken that prayer scarf to multiple healing conferences, healing rooms. It was so saturated in prayer. And so I had taken that prayer scarf and put it around her neck when she took her neck brace off. And when she gave her testimony, she was wearing that scarf and just of the anointing of God's power, even in these articles of clothing, just like in the book of Acts.
Like or, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What did that, hankies? And yes.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's biblical. There's nothing wrong with that if that shocks anybody. And it is a ministry that works.
Yes. It was blue and yellow. And had some shiny in it.
Our time is getting close to the end. My friend and fellow listener, as you hear Sherry Scott tell her stories, it was wonderful to watch her work in Brazil and the love and the power that radiated from her. That in itself, when God actually empowers us, it is a miracle, and we call it impartation. This is what is written in the Bible when the apostles laid their hands on various ministers and they received an impartation, the power of God. Thank you, Sherry. I want you back. Thank you for coming and talking with us today and sharing what the Lord has done. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you, Jim, for having me, and God bless.
God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, my friend, I have to say that God is a beautiful God, a lovely God. God has chosen. He has chosen to use people. He's chosen to use people like you and me to continue the ministry that Jesus started. You see, Jesus started a ministry 2,000 years ago, and he turned it over into the hands of men and empowered them with God's Holy Spirit that we could do the same ministry. Are you and anyone in the sound of my voice? Is there anyone who's suffering pain? Sickness? Right now, wherever you're at, take your hand and place it on that area that you're feeling pain, that area that you know you may have cancer. Maybe you have a vertebrae that's been removed, like this woman that Sherry told me, who was in the terminal area where the people were considered terminally ill or incurable, and it was the most wonderful place to pray. We witnessed miracles there, and in these services, we witnessed at least 200 miracles every service. Let's be part of it. Let's you and I be part of that again. So, have you laid your hand on that sore area, that area of pain, where you've had an operation, where it looks like you're over, it's done, there's nothing can be done, maybe the doctor says this is the best we can do, and you're incurable. He might have told you in such a way. Your heart is aching right now. I'm going to pray in the mighty name of Jesus, because that's the source of our power. He started it 2,000 years ago, and he gave that power into our hands, and we do it in his name. We are, as believers, delegated authority on the earth to serve in Jesus' stead. Let me pray for you right now. I pray for that dear, precious woman who's sitting right now, holding her knees. Just hold those knees, honey. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing, restoration to the cartilage, the bone in this lady's knees. Restoration to these knees. Restore these old, wore-out knees right now for this little sweetheart. Restore those knees and those muscles, those leg muscles. Oh, be joyful, my friend. God is touching you and meeting your need right now. And not only for her, but other people in the sound of my voice. If you have cancer, when I was in South America, I prayed for people, and like Sherry said, my hands would get hot, and then sometimes they would get hot, and heat would come off them and radiate from the area that was being healed. So you put your hand right there now, and in the mighty name of Jesus, receive that healing. Cancer, spirit of sickness, you have to go in the name of Jesus. And as we say in Portuguese, in nome de Jesus. Spirit of sickness and fear, you go from that little heart out there today. Spirit of worry and confusion, you go. And healing, you come into that body. Healing into that heart that's been pumping so hard, laboring so hard. It's been laboring also because of your fear. Well, I speak peace to you, my friend. I speak peace, the peace of God. Put your hand on your forehead today, right now. Receive peace, the peace of God come over you right now. Peace of God. God, open that mind and heart and show them your love, your how real you are, and that you care for them. You can focus on them with all your attention right now. Show that one that you care, one who's not sure that anybody really cares. My friend, God cares. Today, you have received a healing. If you have, take some time and write to me. Tell me what God has done, and your testimony will also encourage somebody else. My friend, take some time. As I was writing to Sherry this week, I wrote a few lines to her that I don't usually tell people, and I got up and went down the street, and I was driving to get a little breakfast, and the Spirit of God came on me, and the powerful presence of God just almost swept me away. I had opened my heart and my mouth, and I had written some things of some needs and problems that I had, and God met me after I released it. So, my friend, write your testimony, send it to me, and God will do even more, as we learned in South America. Mas Senhor, more, Lord.
In the next part of our broadcast, I would like to share a testimony that I have had on the program before, and it comes from Dr. James Maloney's book, and it's about the little girl, a 4 or 5-year-old girl, that had cerebral palsy. Here it is.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Dr. Jim Rohn.
Today, my friend, we are going back to Dr. James Maloney's book. The book is titled The Dancing Hand of God. That's exactly what it does. So as I continue on in this book, I'm going to another section called The Cerebral Palsy Girl. Several years after the above testimony, I was ministering in this one particular home meeting where parents brought their little girl, approximately 5 years of age, and one could immediately see that she was afflicted by cerebral palsy. The parents loved that little girl wholeheartedly, yet understandably, they were devastated by her suffering. The little dear's equilibrium was off balance, and she would wobble when she walked, among all the other disorders with the disease. It was terrible to behold this amazing little creature who was forced to struggle with such a pervasive ailment. She would topple over, seemingly always dizzy. My heart seemed rent in two, and I felt this flow of compassion rush out to her. As I went to lay hands upon her, the Holy Spirit checked me, and I was impressed by him. She doesn't need prayer. She needs you to pick her up and just love on her. So I gathered her up in my arms and turned my back on the congregation. I cradled her and just loved her, my spirit oozing out this burdensome feeling of compassion. Apparently, someone in the group was timing this occurrence, for they told me later I had held her in my arms for 15 minutes. It didn't seem that long to me. All of this love and compassion poured out of my spirit during that quarter of an hour. It just seemed to cover over her. And the more she soaked it up, the more it continued to build until finally it would burst. I felt it would burst. I didn't pray one word over her. Suddenly, I felt the flow of love empty. I turned to face the parents, my face beaming. I placed the little girl on her feet and said, "You run to Mommy and Daddy." And the little girl ran in a perfectly straight line to her parents. Of course, the whole house fell into rejoicing. I recall a few weeks later returning near the area of that home meeting and encountering the parents in the church parking lot. They said their dear daughter had been healed of cerebral palsy and could now even climb trees. They gave God all the glory, and I shouted his praise too. Hallelujah! Can you see why it pays to follow the divine flow of love? My friend, that's what we need in our when we meet in churches and groups. We need to feel the presence of God. We need to experience the presence of God in our heart and lives.
Sail on when the water gets high. Sail on when the wind starts to die. Sail on. It's just a matter of minutes till this ship comes to get us, and we'll all get in it. When we're all born, we're set up to sea, looking for answers continuously. And then when we find out to him we belong, we watch for the signs and keep sailing on. Sail on. When the water gets high, sail on. When the wind starts to die, sail on.
Sail on.
It's just a matter of minutes till the ship comes to get us, and we'll all get in. Cast up your sail and let the wind blow.
Let the wind
Jesus
blow.
Will never let your ship lose control. And just keep your compass set on the side.
Set on the side.
You gotta sail into our beautiful home.
We can afford to throw our lives to the wind.
To the wind.
Hear the wind.
And we've got the Lord in control of our ship.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Would you like to have Jim Rome come to your group, church, or special event? Dr. Rome is interested in hearing from you. You can call Global Air Force at 412-466-5655. That's Global Air Force at 412-466-5655.
So, until we meet again, go with God. God bless you.